Yo, welcome to another episode of No Repercussions. I'm your host, Brunson. We got the crew on the line today. We got the boy, Smitty. What up, though?
What up, what up, what up?
We got Mr. K. How you doing, Mr. K?
What up, though?
And the boy, King Keys. What? How you doing? How you feeling, homie?
Hey, I'm feeling all right. What up, though?
What up? Glad to see y'all. My brother's out here. I'm glad to y'all are healthy for another episode. Everybody good? Ready to get to
chilling.
It?
All day.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and hop right onto this theme. And so I want to ask the fellas, especially since it's just us fellas today, why do women get angry when they hear their man having fun? So you ever had, you know, you be on the phone and you laughing. You crazy boy. And then the women just be like, oh, what y'all doing? But why is that? Why do women get angry when you having fun? So I'm going to start off with King Keys. I'm going to start off with you.
Well, I mean, currently I don't have this issue, but I've had it in the past. And I mean, it could be a number of issues. I feel like a woman could be jealous. You know, she wants to give you all that happiness, enjoyment in your life. Or it could be where, you know, if you out there playing the field, she know you about to go with your boys and do something. That's how I've had it in the past on both ends, you know.
Yeah, but how often than not was that true, that you was out there doing something?
I mean, it was pretty often. I mean, hey.
Don't admit that on the show.
We was trying to save you.
Yeah. You were supposed to say, no, that ain't often. Well, so in that case, she was justified.
Tell no lies. I mean.
Now?
No. Because the females at that time didn't have enough evidence to go off of. So they were just going off of what they thought. They should not have just, you know, prejudged. Now, if they had some type of hard evidence on me, then I would understand. Mad because I'm about to go out with you, per se. You know, I would hate when I would go out with you because, you know.
I was the innocent one doing nothing.
Oh, you're a motherfucking liar.
But would you say a females because there was more than one at the time jealous of you hanging out?
I mean, I've experienced this with multiple females at sometimes at the same time. And sometimes, you know, there's, you know, different, you know, when you out there doing things like that, you know, it kind of comes with the territory, but it's not fair, you know, but I'm not like that anymore. So,
well, that's good.
I always push that shit out there. I sound like a horrible guy, but I'm really not.
Okay. All right. Smitty, what about you? Why do you feel that women get angry when they hear their man having fun?
I think that it comes with a little bit of insecurity. And just because they don't know what you're going to do, right? Like, you're not having fun with them. And y'all may not have fun, right? Like, you know how you be in a relationship and y'all just don't have fun and you want the relationship ends. So y'all just don't have fun. It's kind of like that. I'm always out with my boys. You always out with your boys. You always out with your boy. Well, every time I ask you to do something, you don't want to do it. Like every time I put some ideas out there, I don't want to do it. Like, let's go to movies. We did that last week. Okay. So what? Let's go to dinner. Where you want to eat at? Think about that new Italian spot down the street. I don't even like Italian, or we had Italian yesterday. You'd be like, man, like.
And then at the end of the day, you end up ordering pizza.
Right.
At the hall.
Or your boys give you some tranquil space and your girl don't like that. And you try to incorporate her and try to do things with her. You know what I'm saying? You stay at home and you watch, Married at First Sight by yourself. So you catch up on stuff. So you got something to talk about stuff with her. You know, just things like that, you know, so that you can have a better conversation, you know, and she just don't, you know, she just ain't fun. She's be like, even if you do that, you did something very nice. You watched a boring ass show and you watched The Bachelor or whatever, right? You just watched the show just to kind of appease her so you can have something to talk about, and it ain't good enough. Why you want to talk about that show now? You ain't never watched the show before. I caught up on all the episodes, so I know what's going on because I wanted to make sure we had something to talk about.
Why you want
to
watch them without me, though?
Right.
Nigga.
Be like, look, you was tanking all day.
Nigga, I don't watch one episode a week. Hey, you got a time limit, okay? You want me to catch up? I've been waiting 2 years to watch the fourth season Queen of the South. Catch up, shit. them niggas went on a call. Go ahead.
Or you get rid of, you watch the whole episode, you go and you just keep watching the show, right? Because you ain't got nothing to do, you kind of off that day, right? Yep. You a hater. She mad as hell.
Oh, why
you
man.
Watch you watch six episodes?
Nigga, I just go back.
I ain't seen this. I ain't watching that show no more.
I ain't watching it with you no more.
Listen, I just go back. Hey, I go back. I just be like, damn. How you know that was gonna happen? I don't know.
Yeah, I'll lie. Be like, yeah, I ain't seen it. Yeah, I'll watch it again. Fuck it.
Start that shit over. We was on episode 3, season 1. I'm at season 6. A whole new character development didn't happen.
Right. Watch this part.
Shit.
Woo!
Yeah, that's shit. Crazy. For real? I ain't know old dude was coming out the woodwork
hell
for that
no,
one.
Dude. Hell no. Whole time. That's your whole phone background.
Oh, Gus was behind it the whole day? Oh, yeah,
that's funny. All right. Well, Mr. K, what are your thoughts? Why do women get angry when they hear their man having fun without them?
I think it's like two parts. I really believe it's part of it's somewhat jealousy and somewhat insecurity, but not insecurity preferably on their part, but kind of less like sometimes the friends that they're worried about the friends that you surround yourself with and they're really insecure about them and they are afraid that the environment that you're in with them, if they're wild and crazy or they do wild things or they have a lot of other women around them, they're afraid that because you're going to be influenced by them. And it's something like, I'm my own person. And they know I'm my own person. So I'm not even going to follow what they're going to do. If they say, oh, let's go rob a liquor store, I'm going to be like, nah, man, I ain't with all that. I got a family. I got my wife. I ain't trying to be all that.
Right, of course.
But they think this is on a random. It's going to be like, oh, shoot, it was in the car. They're going to get locked up. I just think that it's also probably mostly where they think that you going to go off and do something else and they're afraid that, oh, I thought I would make you happy. Why are you going to go up with somebody else? How they make you even more happy than I?
I'm tired of your shit, Jody.
I hate that movie. God, I hate that movie.
I love it. I love it.
That is one of the worst movies John Singleton has ever made. No, I take that back. Waist Deep is the worst John Singleton movie, followed by Baby Boy.
I liked Waist Deep.
Okay, yeah, so.
But they both had Tyrese in it.
That says a lot. You're right. So we feel like it may be jealousy or, you know, the woman feel like they're being left out. What do you do to stop having those kind of conversations and to avoid having your woman, you know, be upset or when you get back home, you be like, what's wrong? She'd be like, fine, but be sulking. Like, what do you do to stop that because you was out having fun? Go ahead, Smitty. What about you? I'm going to start with you this time.
You know, I don't know what you can do to make her feel better. Only thing I can think about is you just got to overall make your woman feel secure, right? Like, ain't nobody going to be out there better than you. Like, you got to do things to make her feel secure, make her feel wanted, right? So I think once that foundation is laid, you having fun with your boys is irrelevant, right? Because the foundation has been laid that you can't go out and you're not going out there to do anything. She's the number one in your life. Like, no matter what happens, you know what I'm saying? She's the first thought on your mind or whatever. Whatever you need to do to make her feel secure and feel wanted, that's the most important thing because that will make your life a lot simpler as things go on, right? Like, even, you know, you got to do those things that you hate doing, right? You're about to go out with your boys and then your girl's like, well, you always go out with your boys. You're like, you know what? I'm not going out there. I'm going to stay with you. And then she'll be like, no, don't stay with me, right? And I'm like, no, I really want to stay with you. You know, like, I had a plan with them and I really wanted to, you know, just kind of make her feel special and things like that. Just make her feel like she's number one. So once you do that, I think the groundwork will be laid for you to not have that problem when you have fun with your boys.
Okay. What about you, Mr. K?
I think a lot of ways to avoid it or a lot of ways to just kind of avoid those thoughts is invite them. Show them that you have nothing to hide. It's like, hey, want to come with us? We going to the club or we going bowling or we going this.
That could backfire though, okay? Because your homeboy is going to be looking at you like, nigga, ain't going to be quiet and he's going to be like, all right.
But at the end of the day, who you cuddling up to? Your homeboys or your girl?
Have you ever seen Lady Killers? Have y'all ever seen Lady Killers with Marlon and Tom Hanks?
Yes, sir.
In the words of the lady killers, you brought your bitch to the Waffle House? He brought his bitch to the Waffle House. So, I mean.
Can we substitute bitch for something else?
It's already out there.
That's a no for me. No. You brought your woman to the Waffle House? That made you feel better.
As long as they cleaned up on editing.
Hey, this is supposed to be the No Repercussions podcast, and I got to clean up on editing. Plus, it wasn't my words. I quoted Marlon Wayans. But go ahead, Mr. King Keys. Well, what are your thoughts in regards
to... Now, see, back in my days, you know, I would call a female while I was out. You know, Courtney would have been there, you know, and it could have been another female with us.
Well, hold on.
And, I incriminate
you. Stop implicating me in these conversations. Hey, I was not there for any of this.
Yes, he was.
Jesus Christ, right, this is why you don't need no co-defendant.
He was my right-hand man in all my fuckery.
I don't know any of your fuckery.
Yeah. You know, you call the female and check in. You could be with another female. The female goes to the bathroom. You know, you call her. You know, if you out there playing your games. But, you know, just call and check in on her. Whether you're doing something, you know, on the side or not. Call, check in, text, whatever. Again, disclaimer, I don't do any of the bullshit at this point. But if I was to do it, you know, there's rules to it.
Yeah, okay. I mean, I feel that. But what if you do all that and she still ain't satisfied, right?
Well,
I think y'all just missing the one important point, right? And I ain't saying this about nobody's perspective today, but it could have been at a time where she's just not fun. And I don't want to hang out with you. I love you, but what if you ain't fun?
You don't want to tell your woman that, because then that's going to have some issues. You know how women are. You know, you try and tell her, and, well, I'm not fun now. You're going to hear about it for months on end. Oh, I would, but I'm not fun enough, you know.
So Smitty said, like, oh, she don't want to go out. See, that's one thing, is she don't want to go out, or, you know, she want to pick stuff that she don't want to do, but, like, what if you just don't like, she's just not fun. She a party pooper, right? Like, what if she did want to hang out, but, like, she like Debbie Downer when you hanging out and just kill the mood?
I thought I mentioned that in my statement earlier.
No, you said that she don't want to do nothing.
No, I said she not fun, because I said you watching the show, you catch up on something, and she's like, well, why you, you know, like, she just ain't fun. I said that. She just ain't fun.
Oh. Well, I ain't hear you.
It don't matter. I don't care. Fuck you.
See, that's why I'm watching the show without you. Man, how about that? Mm-hmm. Shit, you no fun having ass.
Fuck how you feel.
Oh, yeah. Fuck how you feel. All right. So thank you for that, fellas. Moving on to the next topic. And by all means, you know, we are not picking on women today. We just want some answers. That's all it is. And so the next question is, why is it okay for a woman to be broke searching for a mate? But man, it's not. I'm a scrub if I'm broke or I'm saving pennies or I ain't making X amount of dollars. But oh, baby girl who, you know, wearing, you know, Lee's washed on weave or putting Gorilla Glue in her shit to make it fresh. It's okay for her to try to, you know, to hit $1 million home run, huh? So why is that, fellas? Let me ask you that. So I'm gonna start off with you, King Keys. Why is it okay for a woman to be broke searching for a mate, but a man cannot?
I mean, I don't think it's okay. I think you need to go ahead and get some priorities and, you know, together. You know, if I didn't have my shit together, you know, I might try and just get a little piece of ass, but, you know, I'd be more focused on, you know, getting myself together than a mate, you know. And for a man, I mean, you know how I feel about tricking. You know, I'm not going to, I'm just not going to put myself in a position where it's just me, you know. I don't, you know, I'm not, I'm going to say for what it is. I'm not about to date down. That's just it. You feel me? I'm not about to cause more of an issue for myself. You know what I'm saying? So that's just not going to happen.
Nigga, did you just hit the whole jug out the refrigerator? God damn, dog. Milk?
I think came back with the whole half gallon.
Duh. This nigga Kane's a fucking savage, dog. I heard about you in the damn Minute Maid box.
It's a quart.
Nigga, that's a half gallon. Stop lying. Oh, okay.
That shit look huge. That shit look huge on camera.
Yeah, when you were walking back in, it's like, this nigga go shopping? This nigga brought the whole
motherfucking shopping. This nigga said, I'm going thirsty. On
YouTube. This is going on YouTube by itself.
That was funny.
Said, I'm thirsty.
All right, Smitty. Well, tell me your thoughts in regards to why can a woman be broke and find a mate, but a man cannot?
I think it comes from a historical perspective, right? Women have always been kind of the people who stayed home and married, and like fathers always wanted to marry their daughters off to somebody who had money to improve the family standing. So I think it's just a historical perspective, right? Our society had them move. It moved into the equality, right, of like men and women, right? There's still a double standard in the world for men and women. And I think that our society hasn't shifted there yet, where it's okay for a man to be at home and take care of the kids and do all the stuff, be the domestic at the house. I don't think our society's got there yet. I think I don't know if it's going to ever approach that either, but it's always been the kind of the thing where men work, like no matter what. You can't, I mean, I guarantee you, you take a man home to your grandma and he ain't working, your grandma gonna say some, you could be a millionaire. Like, listen, if a woman comes, I just need a warm dick and somebody to take care of my kids. Grandma's like, that nigga need a job. Like, no matter what happened, okay, what it is, right?
Not a warm dick. Damn, that was just the most demeaning shit. Damn, nigga, all I am is fucking elongated flesh of meat and some sacks, right? That's god damn.
I think people are starting to warm up to domestic fathers, you know. But I think people always say, they don't ever say if there's an able-bodied woman, they should be working. If there's an able-bodied man, he should be working, right? That's the saying. Because it's always going to be men running, you know, like men have to kind of survive and go out there and do things where the woman can stay at home or do what's, you know, being a domestic. But I think in my opinion, men and women are equal. And if a man wants to stay home and the wife makes the most money, let it be what it is, you know. Vice versa. But at the same time, I do also got to say, there's women have been underpaid for years. So maybe that's another thing too, where women wasn't making a lot of money at the time. So they, you know, sometimes they just left their jobs to stay home because it was more beneficial to help the family.
I'll tell you this. It's been times when I was married earlier on where my wife was working and I wasn't. And it was just because it made sense. You know, we had kids and, you know, I had my son and my daughter like back to back. So, you know, imagine childcare. So, you know, I'm good with, you know, I always had a hustle. So, you know, that was more so my thing. You know, I contribute in the house, I make it. So, you know, what I could do to take it off her shoulders, you know, I did. And then I made my little bread on the side. You know, it's different. At different points in your life, you just got to change up a strategy. So it may be best for you, you know, her to work at the moment, then you know what I'm saying? Then it may switch. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, that's just how it goes sometimes. As long as that machine keep moving, that's really what it's about.
Okay. Mr. K, what about you? Why do you feel like, or why is it okay for a woman to be broke and searching for a mate, but a man to not to be?
I think it's a lot of what Smitty said as far as what people have been conditioned to, and then the traditions of the man's supposed to be the breadwinner. The man's supposed to provide security for the woman. And so they're the ones supposed to be making all the money. And even if they're not making all the money, they should be making more than what the woman's making, even if she's just doing something on the side. So I think it's a lot to do about tradition and just what society believes a man's supposed to do. And it's kind of an old way of thinking, but and a lot of times we've all followed through it because we all felt like, you know, our fathers were always taking care of our mothers, or it was always our mother had a job that seemed to be less than what father was making because dad was working long hours or working different jobs that the mom didn't work. So I think a lot of it's tradition.
Okay. I mean, see, so I get what y'all are saying. It's tradition, you know, that it has been ingrained that a woman may find that a man should be her protector, and a suitable mate with financial stability would be more desirable. But what if y'all on the same playing field and you just, you know, hey, I'm going out here, but I don't want to. It's a lot of memes going around or tweets or stuff going, conversation going around talking about, oh, I need to have my bills paid before, you know, we go out on a date. You got to pay my rent before we go out on a date. Otherwise, I can't date you. Or you got to spend at least $400-$500 on a date. Like, what if I don't want to? If I don't want to do that, now I'm a broke boy? Like, what kind of stupid, like, what's up with that? Like, that's what I'm saying.
I think sometimes these things are said just, they're just dumb. Like, there is no reason why I should pay your bills before I go on a date. Like, that doesn't even make fucking sense. Like, you don't get bills until I get in those pants. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's, you know, so like, I'm just being real. Like, you know, think about set it off. You know what I'm saying? She wanted to send her brother to school. He's like, you got to do something for me first. You can't.
Wow. That's where you went with that. Wow.
It was an example from Black History. That's a Black History movie.
Wow. That's where he went with that. The views and opinions expressed by Smitty is not that of the No Repercussions podcast.
They actually are.
he actually came up with the topic, by the way. You know, by the way, he literally came up with both of these topics. I know I usually say that he actually came up with both of these topics by himself this time.
But no, I just think it's women just gotta, if they say common sense stuff like, I want a man with equal to what I have or more so we can level up together, like stuff like that, that turned me on. Like when a woman can talk like that, you know what I'm saying? Like, I got goals. I want to level up with you. I want to build a legacy with you. Like, say those words. That's like foreplay for me. Like, oh, you said legacy?
But a lot of females out here don't be on that. You know, the end chick is the long weave and the $300 nails and you take care of me. And it's like, nah, let's use this energy together to build something. Like, you know, you're not
fuck your hair. I don't want you. You don't spend no $300 on your hair. Let's put that $300 on something else.
Well, she ain't spending
unless
you're
getting braids. Unless you're getting braids, you know, because braids, you know.
Yeah, but she ain't spending $300. She's spending your $300.
I think about money, right? Just in general, and this is just a life lesson. Like, if it's not making money, it don't make sense, right? Like, I literally heard a commercial today. I mean, yesterday that baffled me, right? There's a company down here that She's Happy Hair, okay? And they have financing for your weave.
Yeah. Oh, that's not new.
They got that up here.
Yeah. I was baffled that you would finance your hair? Yes. You go in debt for your hair.
Yes. They got it all over.
That woman is not for me.
Exactly. Because she's gonna lead you to making dumb ass decisions in other things, in other areas. You feel me? Like, I tell my lady all the time, like, you know, I just, you know, they don't have a lot of old school women back in the day. You know, I grew up with my grandma, my great grandma. My great grandma was not about to go and do no bullshit like that. She, you know, she grew up in a different era where, you know, she was going to make shit make sense and lead her household. Like, you know, a lot, not all these females, but some of these females just, they had to be on the wrong shit. You know what I'm saying? Weaving nails.
But I mean, okay. So let me ask you this. Well, Mr. K, what are your thoughts? Let me get your thoughts on that. In regards to a woman saying you had to spend an X amount or you have to have pay her bills before she go out with you or go out on a date with you.
That's just not my type. And I wouldn't be around. I'm very selective on the people I'm, like I said earlier, I'm very selective and very conscious about who I surround myself with. And if I know that's not me, that's not what I want to be about. That's not what I want to continue to stress and worry and stress about that, then I'm not going to surround myself around it. I'm just not going to be around.
Okay. Real quick, fellas. So I got a question for you. Do you think that you should have a certain salary before you try to start a date? Or do you think you should make a certain amount of money before you start a date? Anybody can ask. Go ahead.
All right. I don't think it should be a certain salary. I just think you should be stable. Like, point blank, period. Just stable with yourself.
But what's stable?
You know,
I mean, having the necessities in life, being able to take care of yourself. I mean, you don't have to have, you know, the biggest house and wherever, but, you know, you got an apartment or, you know, or if you're staying with your parents and you're younger, but, you know, you in school, you got a plan. You know what I'm saying? You working, you know what I'm saying? Like that saying, you know, no romance without finance is true, because in the beginning you are going to, you know, you have to go and date. You got a quarter. You know what I'm saying? It's a difference between courting a woman and then just tricking off. Like if we go out and, you know, we go out and have a dinner. Yeah, I'm supposed to pay. We're going to go out, do this, do that. I'm getting to know you. But I'm not about to be like, here you go. Here's, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to give you $300 for that bill, baby. You know,
where does the rule say I'm supposed to pay?
You say what?
Where the rules say I'm supposed to pay? Can she pay?
I mean, she can, and it's a nice gesture, but as the man, you know, I'm old school with that. You know, like, I'm going to pay for these dates.
How do we get to make these archaic rules? That's archaic rules.
It's a gentleman, though. It's a gentleman. It's courting the woman. It's wooing the woman. Yes.
The views of King Keys does not support no repercussions.
Research it. It's archaic.
Keenan said back in the day, the caveman used to hit a deer over the head and just drag that shit to the house. Hey, you cook, I eat, then we fuck.
Look, that first date, I'm going to go ahead and pay. I do have a story if we have a moment about paying on the first date.
We don't.
You're an asshole. Go ahead, Keenan.
Okay. So with that's who I'm with currently.
Would you stop saying names so I can stop blurting out names goddamn time? Well, I'm gonna leave it this time. Last time I just took one out because I was like, why he say that?
Oh, okay.
No, my bad. Oh fuck, I gotta take that one out.
You gotta do another one. So anyway, me and my lady, we go out, we went to the comedy spot that's in Ohio. You know, this is our first date. And you know, I was making candles at the time. So I made her a candle and it was Valentine's Day, I believe. I took her, you know, I paid for the tickets, paid for the food. Food was very overpriced. They made us sit with another two patrons. And, you know, I was upset about paying $90 for something that wasn't worth that. You know, I didn't care about the 90, but, you know, it was just overpriced. But, you know, instead of being myself and being cheap, I just ate it because, you know, it's a part of the game. We left, got some drinks, you know, I paid for it. You know, you pay for everything. You know, now, you know, we go to Qdoba. You got it? Oh, okay. Go ahead, girl.
But look at the play down, right?
Ooh, I love Qdoba.
Look at the play down. Hey, this nigga traveled a whole nother state for his date. But he is in some fucking queso and three carne asada tacos. Nigga, how is that fair? You can't ask.
It was a burrito bowl. It was a burrito bowl, G.
Oh, that's even worse. You didn't get no bread. She just gave you rice in a bowl. God damn, nigga, them Sally Struther kids had more than that. Go ahead, Smitty.
So I think the three most important things to have before you even are open to dating is to have your own car, your own place, and a job, right? Like, I think those are very central things. And I think that's essential for the woman as well. She should have her own her own car, her own place, and a job. Like, I don't think it should always be like...
Or if you're in New York, you don't need a car.
Yes, I agree with that. I don't... Like, if you are in a public transportation city and you can make it through public transportation, it may be okay. But I think that you need to have your bottom line together just in a situation where you can support yourself. You can support some dating. You know what I'm saying? Because you may be in a situation where you may not be able to date, right? Because you live in paycheck to paycheck. You know what I'm saying? And throwing a date in there may, you now are not living paycheck to paycheck. You're living paycheck to credit card to paycheck. You know, so be careful with when you're dating somebody. Like, are you financially stable to date? You know what I'm saying? And date within your means. It's okay, right? Like, If the most you can afford is Qdoba, take the girl to the Qdoba, right? If you can afford McDonald's, take the girl to McDonald's. Like, just like, be what it is, because if you start to grow together, y'all will get to that stage where it won't be McDonald's and it'll start to be, it start to be those expensive restaurants, like going to different states and going to a comedy club and spending that money on a show. But, you know, it's just date for where you are at that moment in life.
Ah, you sound like a broke boy. Fuck that shit. All right.
I am broke. Thank you. I'm on this podcast.
Listen. One day we're going to get syndicated and picked up. Shout out to Revolt, the Joe Budden Podcast Network, Barstool.
UPN. We're
trying to get picked up.
UPN. CW. The WB.
The WB. We just trying to get syndicated, huh? Okay, real quick, Mr. K, your last thoughts. Oh, I'm sorry, Smitty, you come in next.
I was just thinking, just like Smitty said, live within your means. That I don't think necessary to really have a car, but if you have a plan of transportation, I mean, yeah, you may want to take your lady out and you go rent a car, but have the means to do that. You know, your job should be able enough to pay your rent, do all these things, and then if you need to rent a car or if you take in transportation, you got enough money for that. It's not something where you're like, oh, I gotta count what's on the menu and make sure that we're staying within that $30 budget because I gotta pay this car. No. Live within your means. If you're living within your means and you have a plan and you know how you live in yourself, you can live by yourself without having to worry about money and financial things, then everything else can fall into place.
Okay, that sounds good. Thank you, fellas, for that. Moving on to our final topic of the day, and I want to ask you, this being Black History Month, which is fucked up in itself, right? Black History should be every day, all day, 24/7, 365. But with that said, I want to ask you, fellas, who is the most important Black person in history to you and why? And so you can give me that figure name and the reason why that person is the most important to you. And I'm going to start off with you, Smitty.
Okay, so my favorite person from Black history would have to be, I would say it's Frederick Douglass. I always go between him and W.E.B. Du Bois, right? Like, I always kind of, I think why I pick Frederick Douglass is, I'm going to go with him. He's the father of, like, civil rights, right? Like, he kind of started us on that path. Like, he was
an abolitionist.
Thank you.
Abolitionist. I think that's what he meant to say. He's an abolitionist coming from. Okay. Moving along.
Yeah. And I think he was the father of civil rights overall. You know, I think he kind of seen a vision that people didn't like his thought process when it came down to women and suffrage, right? But he was very, very adamant that, like, in order for us to get a foothold in this world, we got to get the Black man the right to vote, right? And that's the start of, like, civil rights, right? Like, that's one of the civil rights that you got to have, right? So I think that him being that, I think he don't get enough credit in history for that. You know, he's well renowned in history, but they kind of missed that he's kind of the father of civil rights.
Okay. Thank you, sir. King Keys, who's your Black history figure?
I was thinking about this when you sent this out. I really couldn't narrow it down to just one person, and I'll be brief as well. I just think it all paid for, you know, down from Harriet Tubman, her role, you know, and then everyone that, you know, wasn't acknowledged, you know, because I'm sure it just wasn't her, you know, but everyone that assisted, everyone that took part, you know, down to MLK, Malcolm X, Huey P. Newton, you know, I just think everybody had a role to play it for. So just, I couldn't just pick one, you know, because everyone had an important role.
Okay. For me,
I think a lot. Go ahead, oh, no, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, no, you finish your thought.
I say a lot of people have, like, a lot of people pick MLK, and, you know, he's very important. Like, you know, he was willing to die for what he believed in, right? He wanted to make sure his kids had a better future. And I don't want to miss out on, like, MLK, right? Like, MLK is really big. But I think people, we forget those older historians, right? A lot of people put Barack Obama in that, like, Black history kind of concept, right? I don't think he's, it's old enough for him to be in Black history yet. Like, I think he should be a part of Black history. But I think he hasn't, like,
we haven't had enough time since he was president to put him in like the realm of like great Black history. Like he did a very monumental task becoming one of the first. We're gonna give him the title of first Black president, but I would always give him the first multiracial president because he is half white, half Black. So people always say, hey, the first Black president. I said, he's the first multiracial president.
But are we sure he's the first multiracial?
But I mean, you see him and right. You don't think mixed. You just think he's a Black guy, well spoken Black guy. You know, you wouldn't, you know.
Yeah. I mean, he classifies Black, and so I let that be what it is. But I think for him to be the first Black president, his presidency was lackluster, in my opinion. Like, it just, he didn't give, like, for you to be historic and, you know, that kind of thing.
What did you do?
Exactly.
I feel like he's going to be in Black history forever because he's the first Black president. But it's like, for you to be on the level of MLK and Malcolm X, like, they did something that really went against the grain, you know, and really made some drastic changes, you know. So I just can't see it. I can't see him there yet, you know.
I think he did. I do have to say that he did have struggles, though. Like, he had a Republican Congress that fought him at every turn, right? Like, his presidency wasn't like straightforward. Like, he wasn't getting arrested
and beat, though. Getting marched, getting shit thrown at him, getting called niggas.
I don't know. It may him being publicly flogged maybe even worse, because like a lot of Republican senators and things like that called him monkeys, and there was a lot of stuff being like publicly like community, like, you know. I think it's a different kind of, like, I think he was probably bullied in the public more so than him being flogged or beaten or hosed down. But I think his bullying
was more so like on a sly, like little slick shit, where back then, but
ain't that what a bully does, though?
Whole other shit.
Man,
I'm talking about a comparison to back then, the 60s and whatnot, you know what I'm saying? The 50s and, like, that was some whole other shit. Like, you know, to get something done with that type of opposition, you know.
Faced the same opposition? I don't want to turn this into a conversation about Barack Obama did and didn't do for the Black community, but this man had a whole campaign saying he wasn't born where he was said he was born. They called him and his wife and his children monkeys. I mean, what else? He had a whole racist party.
You know what monkeys have? Little monkey babies.
I'm just saying.
He ain't get his house firebomb, nigga. I mean, that's some whole other shit.
Only because his house was the fucking White House. And so that's called treason if I blow. Well, not today. But man, when he was in office, if I was to firebomb the White House, it would have been called treason. So niggas wasn't trying to get that down. You know, now,
I mean,
you
I'm
run
not
up
saying
in the Capitol.
He didn't have no opposition. I just feel like it was a whole different, some other shit back then.
It was white collar opposition. It wasn't like blue collar opposition that everybody else felt.
Yeah.
I mean, okay. All right.
Well, do you think? No, I was going to say, as far as Barack Obama, do you think that the expectations set for him
too high
were a lot different than what Black America thought compared to the rest of America? Because I see it as him as being the foot in the door to help keep it open.
Right.
I don't think when he came into office, I didn't think he was just going to make these whole wide sweeping changes. Because, I mean, comedians made jokes about how Barack Obama was going to be up there barbecuing, doing all these extra things. You know, it's funny jokes, but I really think that a lot of people thought that he was going to change the whole face. He was going to be the new Martin Luther King. And I think he really opened the door. But then I also see that everybody, the young people below, you know, young people are, you know, our children's age are all going to see that I can accomplish that. I can be that. So that when they're there, they can say, all right, well, I took up the reins. And whatever he didn't do, now I can do, because I can at least get through the door, because then he didn't push the door open. Now I can actually get there. It's not something where you can say, oh, well, I'm never going to get there to the top. Well, now I can get to the top. Now this is what I can do once I'm there.
I mean, I think
I never expected him to do much. You know, I figured, you know what I'm saying, because he was Black, it was going to be, you know, very hard. So, you know, I'm like, hey,
you can only expect someone to do something that they're allowed to do. You know what I'm saying? He got some things too, but a lot of things got blocked. And it was just like, hey, you know, it's kind of it's expected, you know?
I wanted to see more him do what they have done to us, right?
I would like to send all African-American cabinet. Like, I would like to see something within his control. I'd like to see that, right? Like, I would like him to be like, y'all did it for years. I don't have to come in and put these white people in office.
But see, then it'll look like it's racial, and then they'll have an
issue. It don't matter. They do it all the time. It don't matter. Go ahead.
Here's the thing about... I think
he put us...
And then they'll keep all black folks out of Congress after that.
No, but here's my thing. Here's my thing. I think we all asked him to do what we ourselves wasn't ready for him to do, or wasn't ready for ourselves to do, right? Like, I think we asked, we thought he was supposed to be the great black hope. And I'm not sure why we thought that, because A, he's a politician, and B, I mean, I'm just not sure how much you thought he was going to be able to accomplish.
His whole thing was hope. He sold it to us.
No, he sold it to Americans. He didn't sell it to just you. He sold it to Americans, right? And Americans believed in change and hope, and Americans voted for him to change and hope. And change and hope they did in under the Obama administration. I just think
they did.
I just don't think as black people didn't even get, like, this is the first election where I saw black people care about the policies, the votes of what was being said and what was being done. Usually we just vote because we vote party heavy, because all we know is being Democratic Party, right? Or we know what our parents' party is, so we vote that party. Very few of us usually take up an issue or a concern with the issues that are being brought that to affect us. And this is the first election I've seen that that have brought that up, right? So that, you know, I think we were asking for him to do something that we ourselves weren't in a position to hold people accountable or to the fire for doing. Okay. Yeah, gotcha. All right, so cool. So with that said, though, this all of a sudden turned into a Barack Obama conversation. What I was going to say is one of my most important, and it's just a new favorite, right? By a gentleman by the name of Henry Box Brown. And I just found this information out, you know, just recently about Henry Box Brown. So he was a slave, and he also became a magician. And so he was a slave. He ended up working enough money to buy his freedom. And the way he bought his freedom was he hired some people to mail him to the Freedman office in Pennsylvania. And so the man put himself in a box, cut one hole in it, had like some biscuits and a little water, and rode 26 hours with his legs above his ears in like a contortionist position to get the freedom. And to me, that was just like, wow. Like, how amazing. He wanted it. That's what I'm saying. Like, he wanted it so bad. And how amazing was it that this man, I mean, anything could have happened with that package. Like, you know, I think the story goes that they had this side up only. But, like, I mean, you all seen how packages get handled. It was flipping the shit out that box, right? And he just had to be quiet, like, bumps and bruises and on a freighter, then on a train, then on, like, horseback carriage. And then, you know, and then just pop out the box and, you know, just be like, oh, I'm here now. We good. And then continue his life as an abolitionist and, you know, a fighter against racism and anti-slavery. I mean, I just, you know, he just is a newfound of many African-Americans that I just thought that was just inspirational, right? Like, you wanted it so bad that, I mean, I don't care what happens to me. I mean, at this point, I was going to die anyway, so I'd rather take my chances of trying to get free by mailing myself across the country. I mean, like 1,000 miles, right? So that's crazy.
What's his name again?
I think
Henry Brown, Henry Box Brown.
I think they put the box in there because that's like his tagline.
Yeah, his thing.
Yeah, his tag.
Like Big Tex or something like that. Yeah,
that's what it is.
So I think, just to kind of close this out, though, I think that black people are the most, like, courageous and most monumental people America has ever seen, right? And I'm not saying that because I'm black, but we have done so much to overcome so much that we don't get enough credit where credit's due. And I just wanted to say that as the black man on the show, I think is great that we
we are able to talk about history and understand history and be the voice of the past for the present. So thank y'all for taking up this question. I really appreciate it.
No problem. Thank y'all. And thank y'all everybody for their opinion. And remember, you know, always bet on black. Never go wrong. So thank y'all everybody for the show.
That one is red.
You idiot. I can't stand y'all. Just an idiot. But again, thank you, Mr. K, King Keys, Smitty, for being on the show. You know, I appreciate y'all, and I appreciate to see y'all, you know, positive black men, like Smitty said, you know, on the show during this month of celebration for our history and our culture. So with that said, I'm gonna let everybody get into their shit. King Keys, what you got for me?
What up, though? I want y'all to head over to Sky Edibles on Facebook and Sky _ Edibles on IG. That's Instagram. Do you believe that I ask folks if they have IG and they say, what's that? So IG is Instagram. Again, Sky _ Edibles on IG. So look, we got some good things going, man. Look here. Chocolate covered strawberries. Ooh, yes. They good. I had three. I was folded, you know. Man, we still got our normal chips, cereal bars. Man, look, my daughter made some praline pecans the other day. I look at them and I said, I'm going to infuse this shit out of them. So I'm going to have the cinnamon praline pecans in the next few days. So I want y'all to head on over and submit an order. You mentioned no consequences. You're going to get 10% off your order.
What the fuck is no consequences?
It's no repercussions.
Hey, B, I got to put a disclaimer out there. No kid was harmed in the making of these pralines. There was no drug use.
Duh, I said no consequences. No repercussions. You mentioned no repercussions, and you're going to get 10% off of your order. Oh, Valor Clothing. Valor Clothing. Hey, man, head on over, man. Valor Clothing got some of the nicest shit. Look here, I'm telling you. Some nice sweatshirts, shirts. Head on over there. Check it out. Valor Clothing.
What is Valor? Valor is courage and bravery at its finest.
At its finest, B.
All right, Smitty, close us out. What's the social?
Facebook, Brunson and Smitty for the Facebook. Instagram is no_repercussions. And Twitter is @NRepercussions. I couldn't get no in there for some odd reason, so it's @NRepercussions. So you can always hit up to our email at norepercussionsthepodcast@gmail.com. We are taking your questions and we're answering live. Submit your topics. You can submit them in our DMs. We always checking out for new topics. So if you want your topic heard, email us or put it in our social.
Thank you, sir. And so
one,
as always, thank everybody again for listening and supporting the show. Fuck with us. Check us out on all streaming platforms. Again, thank y'all to, you know, all our cast members that came on today, and check us out. One.